Today's episode, the latest in Delete Gate at Michigan. Coach's poll comes out, top 25. We played too high, too low. Stolen valor with the Olympics.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
The ACC is stealing valor from the Pac-12.
Russ Dellinger.
Is Connor voting, Dan?
And SI's Pat Forty.
They are depriving people of their ramen.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. Sharone Moore has entered the chat and deleted it, I guess. We talked last week, if you want more discussion on Michigan's potential penalties and our friend Content Stallions. He's back giving us more content, the whole scandal. ESPN is reporting about a draft of the NOA, the Notice of Allegations, that this draft could become the formal document that gets sent to the University of Michigan. The Wolverine had some of this reporting last week, including somebody on the staff deleted some text messages. And ESPN added to that with the draft, which could be subject to change. States Sharone Moore, who just happens to be Michigan's head coach now, but was the offense coordinator last year, although he's the head coach four games, could face a show cause penalty and possibly a suspension for allegedly deleting a thread of 52 text messages with former Michigan staffer Connor Stallions on the same day that media reports revealed Stallions was leading an effort to capture the play calling signals of future opponents. Draft states the texts were later recovered via device imaging and Moore subsequently produced them to the enforcement staff. Moore is accused of a level two violation. But he could be a repeat offender because he negotiated a resolution to claims that he contacted recruits during a COVID-19 recruiting dead period. That was part of the hamburger gate, and he served a one-game suspension. Anyway, this was the most this is the thing most people led with. I think the most let's just start there. We can take our time on this. The Michigan case never bores. Pat, I know, I'm sure you're fired up. What do you think of the deleter? Remember the Patriots Deflategate had the deflator.
Yeah.
What do you think of the deleter being Sharone Moore?
If they're not, they're no longer the leaders and the best. They're the deleters.
Ah.
Ah. The best.
Got him.
Got him.
Burn.
No, I mean, obviously that's the biggest name that could potentially be linked to this. He is the head coach. Everybody else who's mentioned no longer works at Michigan. Everybody's charged with a level one, and Sharone Moore here, the charge is a level two. But as the ESPN story points out, he could face a repeat violator situation. Yeah, the question, what was in the text messages? And if there was absolutely nothing to worry about, why would you delete them the minute Connor Stallions becomes news? So those are the questions there. And then, do you want to just stick with Sharone Moore right now, or you want to run through some other stuff?
You got any more thoughts on Sharone Moore? Start with that.
Michigan is, they've already shown they can handle coaches being suspended, but this would be a bad way to start your head coaching tenure, I think, if you're sidelined for any games. Now, you know, as we've discussed, this thing may not be resolved until well into 2025. He may coach this year completely unscathed. They also could try for a negotiated resolution quickly. I would think that's not likely because, as we saw last time, they tried to get a negotiated resolution through between NCAA enforcement and Michigan. The Committee on Infractions slapped it back because I think they wanted to bring Michigan in and put them on the griddle. And if they wanted to do it before, I bet they still want to do it now. So I would think this thing will go to a contested hearing, but we'll see.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the word out of Michigan doesn't seem like they're going to resolve this in a negotiated resolution or or anything like that. I guess things could change and the draft could change. As Dan mentioned off the top, it is just a draft, and this is kind of normal protocol, I think. The way the NCAA does its NOAs is to alert a school of what, or a general counsel, or maybe outside attorneys for the school, of what might be included in the draft, and let them at least have, as we talked about last time, right? Let them have a peek at it, and that's exactly what happened here. So it could change, but yeah, as Pat was saying, I don't expect some kind of resolution. This may drag on many months. You know, this is the first step. Well, I guess launching of the investigation is the first step, and then the conclusion. And then the drafting of the notice of allegations. Now maybe we're on step four, but there's step five where Michigan gets 90 days to respond to the NOA when they get it, which is expected pretty soon. I'd imagine they've gotten it already, or either we'll get it very, very soon this week. And then they'll have 90 days to respond to that. And then it goes to a hearing in front of the Committee on Infractions. But that could really drag, right? Many months. And it could include an appeals process too, I believe. So buckle up. This is if this does include any kind of postseason sanctioning or whatever, it's unlikely to come, you wouldn't think, this season, right? Because this thing will not be wrapped up by then.
So Sharon Moore, this was really dumb. This was a really dumb move. I guess, I'll get to why it's probably true, but probably panicked and thought, hey, I'll delete the text thread with him and Connor Stallions I don't know. This was really dumb. The best thing he appears to have going for him is they were able to retrieve him with this mirroring. Because the worst thing that could have happened is he deleted him and they never retrieve him, because it's sketch. And yeah, you could panic. Yeah, you could make a mistake. If you're smart enough to be the head football coach at the University of Michigan, then you should be smart enough when this starts to not delete the text thread with Connor Stallions. Not smart. That said, this is what the NCAA likes to do, and what all prosecutors like to do, is they like to say, hey, look, he deleted these texts. Oh my, this is bad. But they have apparently retrieved the texts and read the texts, and they're not charging him with anything that's in the texts. So it's probably quite good what's in the text. It is not a violation for him to text with Connor Stallions. They could even talk football. The whole point of this investigation, or the main question, was always the same one. Who the hell knew what Connor Stallions was doing? We all assume Connor Stallions was doing what he is accused of doing. Who else knew? They say in there, they found no evidence that Jim Harbaugh knew what was going on or directed it. They don't seem to have anything else that anybody else knew at a high level. They mentioned one staffer and the intern room that Connor was running like something out of Wolf of Wall Street, apparently, convincing them all that we weren't really breaking the rules here. I'm staying. I don't know what that, can you imagine Connor Stallions running the intern program at the Michigan football offices? There's another line in here. I know now I'm off the topic, but that this draft states that Harbaugh failed to actively look or evaluate for red flags. Yeah, no kidding. I could believe that one to be true. Harbaugh didn't know what was going on. When Connor Stallions is directing the interns, I think can't see how this went, got a little wobbly. But what the NCAA likes to do is they like to nail these guys with a lot of innuendo. And they do it to players also. And the most recent one we saw, I don't even like to give the publicity by naming the player, but, you know, there's a recruit and he goes to an SEC school and there's a big NIL deal and it probably is this big thing. And they kind of hint that it's this big problem and the player and his family get dragged through the mud and they got to defend themselves. And there's a lot of suspicion. And they never actually gets charged because the attorney general of the state comes in and tells them pound sand and you're going to have to get rid of your whole NIL program. But they like to throw these guys out there and say, oh, look at this. And everyone reacts and takes the bait. And goes, Connor, Sherrone Moore is deleting text. Why would you delete text? He must be guilty. He apparently didn't do anything if they're not charging him with it. So if the NCAA knows, that these texts are neutral, benign, exculpatory, whatever, then that should be in the NOA too. I'm not trying to martyr Sherrone Moore, because deleting the text is a profoundly dumb maneuver and profoundly dumb at your pay grade. But he's probably innocent, or they would have charged him with something.
I would say he's probably not chargeable as opposed to necessarily innocent. Because while Sherrone Moore might have been dumb enough to delete the texts, he might not have been dumb enough to put anything in writing about, Connor, what are you getting from your guy at the Penn State game this week? That's a conversation you have face-to-face.
Perhaps.
A conversation you have on the text.
Perhaps.
I find it completely impossible, the more we find out, to believe that Connor Science was acting alone. Chris Partridge is pressuring players to not cooperate with the NCAA. Denard Robinson got charged.
Well, those are recruiting violations.
Okay, well, Partridge was not.
Partridge and Harbaugh was not cooperating, not handing over his phone.
Per the ESPN story, Partridge, a former defensive assistant who was fired by Michigan in November, is accused of pressuring a player to lie or mislead NCAA investigators in an effort to, quote, protect, end quote, the coaching staff during the probe into Stallion's scheme, according to the draft.
You know, we had known some of that, or at least that he hindered the investigation and potentially destroyed evidence in the investigation. Of course, I think he's fighting it legally, I believe, or plans to. But yeah, seeing it, you know, in the draft in print is certainly not going to help his cause in fighting this. I am really curious. Dan mentioned it on these texts. You know, what did they say to the text that Sherrone deleted? And obviously they weren't complicit or didn't end in him being charged. But what were they? Because why would he delete them? So that's one thing. And will a level two come with any kind of sanction for him? You know, whether it's a suspension or whatever. That's certainly interesting. And what happens to the program? You know, the level, I think, how many, was there just one level one? Was it just one or two level ones?
There were multiple level ones.
There were multiple.
Okay. Yeah.
They got them on all that. I was just talking about throwing out the deleted text.
Yeah.
That is a trick that the NCAA likes to do. We'll see. I'm not a real big fan of that technique. Because then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, there wasn't anything there.
But they know what's bad, right?
That's because they want him to look bad.
Right, right.
But that's not what the NCAA likes to say. Well, we're a cooperative organization. And it's like, no, that's a prosecutor move. You look bad because of that. Well, let's see what he got. I do not like that play by the NCAA. They do it often. And whatever. If Sherrone Moore is guilty and they have it, then punish him. Fantastic. He certainly put himself into this pickle. And put himself in this spotlight with a really bad decision. But what is the NCAA trying to throw up against the wall here? I don't know what they're going to get. The other really funny thing in here is that they decided, the NCAA said it was Connor Stallions at the Michigan State game on the Central Michigan sideline.
Shocking.
The NCAA gathered evidence that shows Stallions on the sideline at Michigan State's season opener against Central Michigan. Stallions is wearing a bench pass, Central Michigan coaching gear, and disguise, according to the draft, which states that Stallions' conduct seriously undermined or threatened the integrity of the NCAA collegiate model. The draft does not say how Stallions obtained the bench pass for Chippewa said. I would like to see this as the evidence of, like, Michigan saying, well, what evidence have you come to that conclusion? And the NCAA just go, bro, come on.
The other thing here is that, to me, that's significant is the level one charge of a pattern of noncompliance within the football program, which...
Guilty?
Yeah, yeah. A former coach probably had something to do with that, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know who's complied less.
Yeah, right. Jim Harbaugh. hasn't complied with the rules, hasn't complied with the investigations. And the other thing is that a couple of these recruiting violations, while largely picayune, happened in the spring and summer of 2023 when they already knew they were under investigation for other recruiting violations. So it's like there's stuff here that's basically like, we've never really taken anything that seriously. And if you're the committee on infractions, you've got ammo to throw something at them. How much they throw at them, I don't know.
I'm impressed with the Jim Harbaugh era, Michigan, the scope of violations. Normally a school gets caught and they're doing one thing a lot. Like they bought every recruit a car, or they, right, or they had all the guys who had a fake job. Michigan has everything from a dude in a disguise on another sideline to hamburgers, to too many coaches, to texting during COVID violations, to, I mean, some of these are big you, and I think they, someone's busted for giving a guy a ride. I mean, like, but literally, like, the sheer scope of them, there's just a lot of them. I might say that Jim Harbaugh is probably not someone who's very good at managing a staff of 200 people. Probably excellent at football coaching. Bad at management. I can't imagine a worse boss than Jim Harbaugh, like buttoning down on things like that. Like that is a team. I don't know what they had at Michigan, but they needed like a general manager or like a president of somebody who's like actually running the show and just let Jim draw up plays and, you know, sit around with JJ McCarthy and talk about competitiveness.
Yeah. Well, yes, it was largely a slipshod sort of operation, I think you could say.
And they went like 50-3.
Yeah, right. The kind of place that would allow a Connor Stallion sort of person to become vital by doing whatever the hell he felt like doing, including showing up in Spartan Stadium on the other sideline. Jim Harbaugh doesn't care anymore. It's no longer his problem, but he's left a lot of stuff for Michigan to answer for. And the question is, if these end up being level one aggravated charges, then they could get a postseason ban, even if the NCAA doesn't want to do that.
By the way, did you guys see the Tom Marsh, the attorney for Jim Harbaugh? He released a statement or told the Detroit News. This Harbaugh's charge of not cooperating. Mars said, the way I see it, this is like being in college and getting a letter from your high school threatening to suspend you because you didn't sign the yearbook. So I'd be surprised if Coach Harbaugh lets this distract him from winning a Super Bowl, said Mars. That was to the Detroit News. About Harbaugh's charge of not cooperating.
It's like, who's this? Cooperate. Yeah, I mean, no, come on. Well, all right. That's where we're at as the Harbaugh turns.
I still want to know, like, what if there's any culpability for Central Michigan in this? I mean, I know they've made some staff changes there. But again, we go back to the old thing of like, do we really believe the head coach had no idea who was on the sideline wearing coaching gear? Maybe it's believable. Maybe it isn't. I've had conflicting opinions on that from people who are on sidelines for a living. Some of them like, yeah, we know every single person that's down there. And if we don't recognize them, we come right up and find out. To, it's chaos. You never know. So I don't know. But I would be curious whether Central Michigan gets further dragged into this.
Teams usually don't make pretty significant staff changes like 3 days before fall camp begins, and they did. And it's pretty, I don't know, it's obvious to many that this is, it's related to the NOA. Maybe they'll get their own NOA about the situation.
Well, I think, as we said, Connor Stallion's on the sideline of Central Michigan would probably be a greater help to Central Michigan than it would be to Michigan. Connor Stallions could have sat in the stands and gotten a better view. So why is he there? It's not to steal signs for Michigan.
Well, it might be both.
It might be both. I'll give you that. It might be both.
Especially if he's got the photography glasses.
Yeah, the glasses, you know, spy glasses notwithstanding. I mean, they're a good look too, though. You know, they're pretty sharp. Yeah. Better than my glasses. And I don't know. There's the Central Michigan's going to get the death penalty out of this. Michigan's going to skate, and that's how they're going to punch him. No, I don't know. Anyway, we'll see what
Jim McElwain was on Harbaugh's staff.
They all knew who Connor Stallions was. The Connor Stallions intern. That's the Netflix doc I want to see. The intern room.
The intern. Yeah.
What'd you learn on your internship?
Netflix doc. They released, I believe, a trailer, Dan.
They did.
Netflix did. I haven't watched it yet. Like, it's like a 90-second trailer on the Netflix documentary, which I think, what is it, the last week in August, I believe, airs.
Sign Stealer, yeah. All right, let's take this to break. Coach's poll is out. Let's talk some actual football. The coach's poll is out. Let's play a little Goldilocks. Too high, too low, just right. How about that?
Yep.
Number one team in the country, receiving 46 first place votes. Georgia Bulldogs. Pat, too high, too low.
Too high. Ooh. Too high. One spot too high. All right. I would put the Buckeyes number one.
You would put the Buckeyes number one. Reason?
Mm-hmm. I think they got more talent and fewer off-season issues that seem to always follow Georgia. They've been able to play through a lot of them in the years past, but again, I just don't think it's a very good sign for the shape of your program when you are dismissing one of your top receivers right before the start of camp for rather serious allegations, and combine that with all the other car issues and everything. I don't know whether they're as buttoned up as they need to be.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, you know, insulting them at number two. Yeah. You just don't believe in them, Pat.
That's it.
Ross would go Buckeyes one.
Yeah, I'd go Buckeyes one. The same thing. I feel the same. You got to wonder at some point, as Pat kind of mentioned, when does the off the field stuff kind of creep in to the on the field success there at Georgia. But that's not really why I would put Ohio State one over Georgia. I think just the class that Ohio State brought in. I think they're the number one. They're the team to beat. The big thing that stuck out to me, obviously, is the result of realignment in this top 25. Right, you got to get to number 10, all the way to number 10 to find a team that's not in the SEC, Big Ten, or that's not named Notre Dame.
So I've said this earlier in the offseason. I kind of would like to go Ohio State one. I really feel good about the Buckeyes. My only thing is earlier in the year, I thought I'm taking Georgia one because I have to see what Will Howard can do at this level. That's my only question. He's the Ohio State quarterback. He's coming in from Kansas State. He was very good there. Ryan Day and staff believe so much in Will Howard that they were, you know, basically ready to just, you know, let the other guys transfer. They got him. Carson Beck, I know what he can do, and I have a little more faith. So that is the only reason I will say Georgia is properly done and Ohio State's properly done it too. But I'm certainly not going to fight you guys on the saying Buckeyes should be one, Georgia two.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. We still got to see it happen from Will Howard.
I'm guessing he'll be fine, more than fine. I am guessing. But until I see it, I'm taking Carson Beck. Number three is Oregon. The Ducks come in at three. No first place votes, though. Too high, too low, Pat.
Just right. That's where I would put them. I think they're the best of the – I think there's two teams that are not head and shoulders above everyone else, but I think noticeably ahead, and it's Georgia and Ohio State, and then best of the rest, I would go with the Ducks right there. Also need a quarterback, transfer quarterback to come through, but Dylan Gabriel's been playing since, like, 1978. We've seen what he can do.
Yeah. he's up there. What is this, his third school in 4 years? Certainly a lot of experience there, and surrounded by pretty dang good players, right? They've been bringing in a haul there recruiting wise in Oregon, and right there with Ohio State as far as the NIL output there at Oregon with Nike behind them. And I would agree with Pat. They feel right at three. To me, it was, you know, you could flip-flop on Oregon and Texas at 3 and 4.
Well, I will do that. I'll take Texas 3 and Oregon 4. Quinn Ewers, again, no doubts. I think Texas is loaded up. They brought in more wide receiver talent. Got to play in the SEC this year. Oregon's playing the Big Ten. So, again, this is some lame stuff here. But I would take Texas at 3. Controversial hot take. Hook 'em 3. Ducks disrespected at 4. Number 5, Alabama Crimson Tide. No votes for first place. Too high, too low.
That's a rarity.
Yeah.
I wonder the last time. I mean, probably like
pre Saban or Saban's first year. Yeah.
Saban's so maybe even Saban's second year when they were coming off of like 7-5.
Yeah.
That would be the last time, I bet. So I would say a little too high. That's another one where just feel like I got to see it in action with the new coaching staff and, you know, fairly significant amount of player turnover. They've got talent. I think Jalen Milroe is going to have a great year. Brought in Jeremy Bernard, receiver from Washington, and some other guys from Washington that are going to help him. But 5 feels just a little high there. I'd probably put Ole Miss, who is 6, ahead of them, even though we have seen Lane Kiffin fail to beat Alabama a lot.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think there's 2 or 3 spots, maybe too high. There's always going to be an adjustment with a new coach, a completely new culture there. Not to say the vibes are bad, but just different. And I think that may result in maybe a loss or two that they're not used to. They certainly have the talent and the explosiveness in all 3 phases, but just because of the newness and the changes, I feel like that's a little high to rank any program with a brand new coach.
Too high. Great talent, though. Here's my thing. 5, I'm looking at this thing. 5, I'm going to now break the rules of this game because it's kind of boring. 5's Alabama, 6 Ole Miss, 7 Notre Dame, 8 Michigan, 9 Penn State, 10 Florida State, 11 Missouri, 12 LSU, 13 Utah, 14 Clemson, and I'll go all the way to 15 Tennessee. You give me 5 to 15, and I think it's just a roll of the dice.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd buy that.
I'm not.
Schedule injuries.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah.
Alabama's got better talent than Tennessee, and so these are the extremes, 5 to 15, but they're playing them at Tennessee. Reversed or whatever the proper term would be, and it was I read them back the other way, I would be like, yeah, okay, you know, I just think that was 10 or 11, I guess teams would be 10 teams would be just pretty much it. Where this is where the season is going to be fun, and then there'll be some of these ones outside of it. I think Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas are going to be there, and then everybody else, it's like, all right, who's getting in this playoff?
Well, that, you know, on the less than 1 in a billion chance that this actually stays as the top 25 at the end of the season, Missouri at 11 and LSU at 12 would be out of the playoff. Utah would be in it as the highest team from the Big 12. And TBD would be in it for the group of 5 because we don't have a team ranked in the top 25 from outside of the power conferences this year.
Memphis is the highest receiving votes.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about it on the pod before. This is a big 4 years, important 4 year stretch here for the group of five to have a team finish in the top 25. No matter what, they, you know, the highest ranked team obviously gets the best group of five champion gets that CFP spot. But you know, there's a look in the contract in 4 years, and you want to, before that look in happens, I think the G5 wants to prove that it does belong, and it wants to keep that automatic spot. And I think in order to do that, they need to finish inside the top 25. Obviously in the preseason, they're, like Dan said, they're not in there. And I don't know, I'm trying to think of the last time, you know, a preseason top 25 didn't include a G5. I mean, it may have been last year, but we regularly there's at least one or two. But as we often have said on the show, right, the realignment, all this latest realignment has weakened the G5. Their best programs resource-wise have moved up.
Yep.
So if this is the if this were the final 15, so Georgia would be the one seed, Ohio State 2. Florida State would be the 3 seed as the highest ACC, and then Utah would jump to the 4. So the home games would be Oregon, Texas, Alabama, and Ole Miss.
Yeah,
Ole Miss would host Notre Dame. Alabama would host Michigan.
Pretty tremendous day in Oxford.
All right, so let's go through this. Ole Miss hosts Notre Dame. Alabama hosts Michigan. Just statistically, Michigan the only other school to receive a 1 vote. Who the heck? Really? All right.
Yeah, who was voted for that?
Connor voting? Is Connor voting, Dan?
Sharon
He's
Moore.
Everywhere.
The vote was deleted. So we don't know. We don't know who got the vote in for Michigan. So Michigan would go to Alabama. Penn State would play Texas, and then Memphis would go to Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon.
I mean, are you kidding me?
That'd be
fun. Notre Dame at Ole Miss, Michigan at Alabama, Penn State at Texas.
Yeah.
Woo, dog.
Yeah, Oxford, Austin, Eugene, and Tuscaloosa with hosting Notre Dame, Penn State, and Michigan. Pretty incredible. And the winners of those games, obviously, like the Alabama-Michigan winner, for instance, would get Ohio State, presumably in the Rose Bowl. Pretty awesome matchups. And this is what an expanded playoff will hopefully bring us. You know, Dan, any rematches there? Not in the first round, huh? No rematches in the first round based on those rankings. And hopefully the committee, even though it's not a rule, the committee does avoid first round rematches.
I just don't want the last game of, like, yeah. I mean, you know. Because, yeah, I've been saying – so, like, you look at later down this list, like, I've been absolutely saying Tennessee has a team that if they do everything, they're hosting a playoff game. I don't think they can win the SEC, but I think they can host a playoff game. So you could see that at 15. Maybe Oklahoma. Oklahoma's 16. Should I have included them in my little group?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I was thinking, actually, maybe. Oklahoma State before Oklahoma, but –
well,
yeah.
In the group.
Well, you that's know. Just going to be – the Big 12 is going to be a dogfight. And I would love – you know, I like Oklahoma State. I don't know if – I mean, that Oklahoma State, K-State's – Oklahoma State's 18, K-State's 17, and Utah's 13. That's kind of that battle. Miami-Florida, total – I think that's a sleep on them. They could be really good.
Yeah, and the schedule sets up well for them, doesn't it not?
Yeah, Cam Ward – in Miami, they have got a lot of talent. The schedule is good. Now, they may end up getting, like, they could finally get that Miami-Florida State ACC title game that they've been waiting for like
30 years or whatever long.
Yeah. Miami is an X factor.
Don't sleep with some of these Big 12 teams either. How about, like, Arizona? right? They've got the Noah, the quarterback.
Yeah, they've got a schedule that works for them.
Right. They've got a pretty nice schedule that lines up there. And even, hey, look at number 25, Dan.
I've been saying the Hawkeyes
of Iowa. Yeah.
I've been on the bandwagon. Yeah.
I know. New offensive coordinator, quote, new offense. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm on the bandwagon. Iowa State, too. Cy-Hawk could be big this year. A lot happening. I'm not feeling USC at 23. Kansas, 24. Love it. NC State, 22. I think we've named them all now. Washington is 26th.
I'm not feeling A&M. I got to see that one tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. A&M's 20.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back right after this this message. Serious topic here. It's called stolen valor. Heard of these people? They pretend they were in the military.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I stormed the beach at Iwo Jima.
What? People would not do such a thing, right?
Are you joking? They do. Can you imagine what kind of a dirtbag you are, though? Like, seriously.
I know. That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad.
Like, what?
The levels of bad?
I first heard this term, and I've thought of a lot of, like, shady stuff. And I was like, no, really? Why would you do that? Like, it's pretty sad. Anyway, the military imposters, the stolen valor. Well, we kind of got some here in college athletics. And it has to do with the Olympics. And it has to do with, we'll start with the ACC, sending out tweets about how many gold medals their athletes are winning over here in Paris, where Pat and I are, including noted ACC alum Katie Ledecky, the swimming sensation who attended Stanford, who's been in the league for 2 weeks.
Not even.
Wasn't it like last week?
August 1st or 2nd?
August 2nd, I believe.
All right, well, it's August 5th.
Just made the cut.
The ACC is stealing valor from the Pac-12. Katie Ledecky is not an ACC athlete, Pat. This is a swimming. Then I heard the Big 12. I could not find proof of this. The Big 12 was trying to claim the French guy, Leon Marchand. I don't know whether this is true. Somebody, I might have been a joke. So he went to Arizona State.
Arizona State? Yeah.
Arizona State, yeah.
Dude, let me ask this. Other than Gronk, has anyone had more fun at Arizona State than that guy?
Like the French swimming
champ who's like, this is like, I did not watch a lot of the swimming, but I believe every time his race is on, there'd be packs of women in the streets of Paris watching the thing on TV. This guy is popular. Yeah.
If you think he had fun in Tempe, wait till now that the meet's over, he's in Paris here.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Him and that French pole vaulter.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Didn't win a medal.
We won't go into detail.
Didn't win a medal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quick people's court. Yeah. Would you rather win the medal or lose the medal that way? Which would you rather do?
If you're going to lose, it's a good way to lose.
It's the best way to lose.
Yeah.
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 That guy, he's got a bright future. Plus, he's sad. He lost his medal. He needs consoling.
Yeah. He's going to get consoled.
Did he do it on purpose? He's going to get consoled. All right.
I don't think so, because
prosthetic?
Probably a little painful.
Absolutely. Just fantastic. Ooh. Anyway, back to the stolen valor.
Pat,
what the heck is going on? You know Katie Ledecky.
I do. Like class of 2021 at Stanford 3 years ago and stopped swimming for the actual college team in 2018, I believe. So that's a lot of stolen valor. I'm looking now at the ACC's list of people they're claiming. They got her. They got Simone Manuel, who last swam for Stanford like 5 years ago. They got Ryan Murphy, who last swam at Cal like 7 years ago. Abby Weitzel from Cal. I mean, they are expropriating a lot of history here that is not theirs.
Sketch.
So, highly sketch. It is Oh my gosh, I'm looking here too. They're claiming Hunter Armstrong of Cal, who went to Ohio State, but is training as a professional in Berkeley.
So what is
that like when Ohio State fans try to claim Joe Burrow?
What's the protocol here? You know, we talked about this on the pod, not related to the Olympics, but even like in history, you know, as far as like who, what school or conference claims these athletes when they have moved around and transferred. I mean, I don't know what the protocol is.
We need guardrails is what we need.
That's right.
We need guardrails.
An official ruling from the NCAA Committee on Infractions.
The Subcommittee on Stolen Valor. When these guys are spending their time trying to decipher tape
on
whether Connor Stallions is over on a sideline when they should be making rulings on whether Leon Marchand is really a Big 12 athlete.
Dan, we don't need a subcommittee yet. We first have to start with a working group.
We start with a working group.
The working group will report to the subcommittee on past athlete transfer conference affiliation.
Thank you.
Whatever.
Meeting there you and go. February 23rd to 27th.
The subcommittee will report to the full, the Ritz-Carlton. committee.
Yes.
The full committee will then bring it to the full or the subcommittee, the council of the subcommittee, right? And then the council, the full council will have a hearing and then it will go to the Board of Governors. How about like that? You know, that's the steps.
Sad that you know this. I bet that is accurate. There's four people. Someone out there. Wait. Yeah.
Don't worry. It's changing, Dan. It's changing. The governance of college athletics is on the way to change where instead of eight steps, it'll be more like, you know, two or three, at least for the power
system
schools.
Is very hard buy-in. Just come up with whatever you want.
Yeah, right. I found another one. A 30-year-old fencer who went to Stanford, you know, graduated, I don't know, like 2016 or something. They're claiming her. She won a gold medal in the épée. So another great ACC legend, Vivian Kong.
Simone Biles was once verbally committed to UCLA.
Close enough. Counter.
Good enough, yeah. She was going to sign.
Big 10. Counter.
That was back when college athletics was so committed to amateurism. They said, Simone Biles, we don't want you.
Yeah.
Good right. business strategy.
Yes.
Uh-huh. The only business in America, in the entire world, that does not want to be involved with Simone Biles was the National Collegiate Athletic Association. God forbid we let this woman into our organization. This would be terrible. People would want to watch, cheer her on, buy her.
Have that.
Cannot do that. It's terrible. Yeah, all right. Well, I don't know. Something's got to be done. ACC, you're not fooling us, all right? It's bad enough when they show the Nebraska highlights on the Big Ten Network. The Big Ten Network is just going to go off the rails now.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. You know, Big Ten legends from Washington and Oregon. They'll be claiming Jackie Robinson from UCLA.
Speaking of Big Ten legends, Mel Tucker is suing Michigan State. 75-page suit filed in federal court in Michigan accuses Michigan State of improperly weaponizing the university's investigative procedures against the plaintiff, causing Tucker to experience severe emotional harm and suffering, amounting to hundreds of millions in damages. If you remember, Tucker was accused of sexually harassing the rape survivor and activist Brenda Tracy. The two had a relationship after an on-campus speaking engagement. Tracy's complaint included allegations of unwelcome advances from Tucker. Chances Mel's going to get his money.
I'm not a legal expert, but I do play one on the podcast a few times. I will say no. I think he does not get his money.
Yeah, no, not certainly not getting the full amount. I think there's some well-documented evidence probably that would prevent him from doing that. The real question is when does he get back in coaching? There's no more Nick, you know, he had a relationship with Nick Saban, was on Saban's former staffs. There's no Nick Saban school of, you know, coaching, rehabilitation any longer. So I don't know where you go. Who provides that? Maybe Maybe you can go.
Maybe it's Kirby or Lane now that has to take it up. Sark.
Did you guys see the new Big Ten map commercial?
Oh yeah,
I did. I did.
People were very excited about.
Glad they kept it alive. Yeah. I love it.
They like took the transporter beam from L.A. to Lincoln. That was an awfully fast rip across flyover country there.
If only the athletes could
yeah,
do that.
If only. Right?
Laser beam there. Instead, enjoy your 3.5 hour flight.
That thing's really taken off as a thing. People really like that.
Oh yeah, people
yeah,
like it.
It's really popular. It's kind of like the. It reminds me of the people's reaction to that commercial. Reminds me of people's reaction to the old SEC on CBS theme song theme music, right? Which is now dead, of course.
It's not dead. It's going to be Big Ten. That same song is going to be used for the Big Ten.
Was used last year, right? They had a few games.
It's gonna. Yeah. It's people are going to be angry. It's going to be. Mm-hmm. There could be incidents.
It's college football. People are always going to be angry. Always
down that Ohio River Valley where Pat lives, shots could be fired across the river. I'm not going to.
It's possible.
We don't want that. I'm not advocating for that, but when they play that song, that SEC song on the,
it's going to be a Kentucky fan taking a shot at an Indiana fan right across the river.
I think the Big Ten commercial has too many trees in it.
Too many trees.
It's
anti-environment.
It distracts from what they're trying to do. I just think I get distracted by the trees.
Anti-environment. He wants to reduce the number of trees.
No, I was going to go back to our conversation. We were talking about the Big Ten, SEC, and all this stuff. It reminded me. I was looking at, what the playoff would look like based on the preseason rankings. And only one at-large team is outside of the Big Ten or SEC. So the Big Ten and SEC get all the at-large teams except Notre Dame. So the ACC and the Big 12 only get their champion in if you're – basing it on the preseason, and that is something we discussed, I know, quite a bit on the pod, is that this is a big year, and the next few years are big years for the Big 12 and ACC to try to get that second team in. Based on preseason rankings, the coaches think maybe they will not.
I feel like the conference championship games will get an extra team. I don't know, maybe not. I don't know. That'd be a problem. Notre Dame, though, getting their thing in there. Huge year.
Notre Dame is set up. I mean, there are going to be a lot of people confused if Notre Dame finishes in the top three or four and then is the fifth seed because they don't get one of the top four seeds because they can't win a conference. They're not in a conference. But they are really set up just in this format. Jack Swarbrick, the former athletic director, who big hand in creating
it.
The format.
Yeah, yeah, very
yeah,
smart.
Absolutely.
He got in on that committee.
I mean, he's the one that I think he was leading the format discussions when that subcommittee or that working group, Dan, got together started meeting.
Sorry,
speaking of Notre Dame, they lost their starting left tackle during camp. First week of camp. Not great.
All right, so we got camp starting, obviously, just mentioned Notre Dame. Did we see the picture of Dylan Raiola showing up at Nebraska camp looking like a maybe even more muscular Patrick Mahomes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He looked just like Raiola.
He looks like Mahomes. It's crazy in the way he plays and everything. People had to cut up. I saw somebody created like a cut up video with him side by side of Mahomes, and it's pretty eerie.
They look
really?
Yeah, hair, the size, the build.
Wild.
Like that base. So that didn't do anything to lower expectations.
No.
Nebraska fans are just beside that. Like, we got Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. I don't know. They talked to what do I got here? Cornhusker Wire talked to Marcus Satterfield, their offensive coordinator. I think it's his work ethic, the way he attacks it. He'll stay up all night just rewriting notes and rewriting plays just to make sure he can call them in the proper cadence, in the proper rhythm. He's just obsessed with trying to be really good. That shows in his development thus far. since he's been here since January. I'm anxious to see what he's going to look like this week for all three of these dudes. The other, he's got, obviously, they got Daniel Kalen and a couple other, Henrik Harburg. Yep. But I think Rayola is going to get this job pretty quick, or they're going to like riot.
This will be as hyped a freshman coming in as I can remember in quite a while. Just because, like, Arch Manning was hyped, but people knew he wasn't going to start. So it's, he did come in January, gives him a chance, but we'll see. It's a lot to ask.
Well, I mean, he's Patrick Mahomes, so I think he can do it.
Yeah, well, there you go. If he looks like him,
that must be it.
Yeah. Doesn't even matter whether he plays like him. Well, it will.
Looks like a duck. Walks like a duck.
Yeah.
Quacks.
So I didn't really have a people's court other than the pole vaulter. You guys wouldn't answer whether you'd rather win. Would you rather win the medal or lose that way? If you'd like to weigh in, I'll let you. But if you want to pass,
screw the medal, Dan. Screw the medal.
Screw the medal. Absolutely. Would you know who won pole vault otherwise?
Correct. Right. No.
If you ask the average person to name like 10 great Olympians, that Tongan flag bearer would be one of them. It's not about winning. It's just about being.
There you go.
That's it. Just be viral.
I did get this story.
Of all reasons to be viral, that was an all-timer.
Yeah.
Just great. It's just, sometimes, man, it all comes together in a story.
Yep.
So you guys have heard there's more turbulence. There's more incidents of turbulence, apparently, in the air. I don't know if that's true or people just filming them more. I don't know. But turbulence is a problem. When you're flying around, we all fly around a lot. Turbulence.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's enough of it, I guess, that Korean Air is taking action. And Korean Air has a beloved snack on their flights. It is a cup of instant noodles.
Oh, no.
Yes. The cups of instant noodles, a favorite among Korean air travelers over the years, will no longer be available for economy class passengers starting August 15th. The decision is part of proactive safety measures in response to increased turbulence aimed at preventing burn accidents. Yeah.
Now, I mean, that I could foresee the problem there.
You could see the issue. Now, we have been staunchly against people eating things like cups of ramen and I don't know, different
bringing burritos,
sriracha
on.
Bowls and stuff on there. Yeah. Like, we are opposed to that in general because it smells and that you get spills. Yeah. And it's very what was going on your flight over here, Pat? Didn't you have some incident?
Yeah, okay, yeah, my flight to Paris, dude walks up with a sack full of Skyline
chili.
Flew out of Cincinnati, and the guy's bringing Skyline chili on board. And I just thought that was an extreme party.
8-hour flight?
Extreme. Yeah.
You're going to sit on an 8-hour flight with a belly full of Skyline?
He was bringing it over to show the good people of France what real food is, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. That's.
Did you keep an eye on him? Did he go?
I did not. I did not. I lost track of the man immediately, and I was glad that, I mean, like, I was on red alert when he was going to be sitting next to me, you know?
All right. Well, People's Court, is this Korean maneuver here, the airline, is this just a cost-saving measure that they're blaming turbulence or not?
Oh, it's a cost-saving measure. There's no doubt. They are depriving people of their ramen because of they're trying to save money. I'm not buying this turbulence business.
Yeah, I don't buy it either. Not falling for that okie doke.
Nope.
Because they're still serving it to the business class. What, they can't spill up there?
Yeah.
Turbulence doesn't hit the business class?
Exactly. Great point.
Yeah. Don't fool me, Korean Air. All right, that's our show. We'll be back later in the week. One more while Pat and I are over in Europe. It's always fun. We'll see what happens next at Michigan. Please subscribe, continue sharing us on social media, tell your friends about us, and we will talk to you later.